did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life. He's at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Our Father and our God, we just want to say thank you because of the blood that paid it all for us. We want to say thank you because we know that we're more than conquerors. We want to say thank you because we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. If God is for us, who can be against us? Father, from the scripture we've read and from the song that has been sung, we know that nothing can separate us from you. We know that victory is assured. Father, for this we just say thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for ourselves, Lord, that please help us to hold on to you. Help us to hold on to your promise. Help us that we will not be the one that separates ourselves from you in the name of Jesus. Help us that we will not be the ones that lead to our own downfall in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless choir for that wonderful song. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. This morning, how many of us came from a house? You came from a house this morning. Okay, some of us are not raising up our hands. Where did you come from? Maybe work? Okay. How many of us live in a house? Next question. You live in a house? Okay. Fantastic. So those that did not raise their hands up, I'm assuming they don't live in houses, right? But I'd like to know where, like back in Nigeria, right? I know some people live under the bridge. Some people live, even here in the UK, you're walking through town, you see people in one corner with their duvets. So yeah, not everyone lives in a home. But I'm assuming all of us that were here, we all live in a home. We live in a house. We live under a roof, yeah? Okay. Now that we've established that, what forms of security do we have in our homes? What are the forms of security we have in our homes? Baba said physical and spiritual. Amen. 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 Talking about spiritual, I know I've heard of people say that, you know what, they carry their checkbook where they used to pay their tithe. They'll just put it in front of their door. Devil, pass the road of that checkbook because they pay their, you know. But I don't know what kind of spiritual security you're talking about, but it is well. Yeah, types of securities we have at home. What are the types of forms of security that we have in our homes, in our houses? Sorry? We have doors. Fantastic. So we have a door. The door is to prevent people from coming in and out, right? So we have a door. Yes. Any other one? We have chain. Okay, so people, they have chains, you know, chains. They will chain, they after the door, they'll still chain the door and then put padlock, yeah? Okay. And any more forms of security? We have alarms, okay? So what does the alarm do? If anyone was walking or, you know, the alarm would go off and it would alarm us to the presence of somebody. Sir? Some have dogs. Okay, some have dogs. Yes, some have dogs as forms of security, and it's extremely true. If you've not seen it before, trust me, yes, it is. I said to a friend of mine that the reason why we're not so friendly with dogs is because where we come from, we had dogs as security, and usually only the dogs were only friendly with their owners and the people that lived in that house. So if you encounter the dog, God be with you. So dogs, what other? Let me please be putting these things up. Yeah. So we had door, we had gates, we had chains, we had padlock, we have alarms, we have dogs. Any more? Think about your house. Yeah. Any more? We have cameras. We have security cameras. Fantastic. Security cameras. You know, these days, on TV they keep advertising. As soon as somebody's, you can answer your doorbell anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. You can say who is there. And you know the good thing about that door one? It's not a good thing, but technically you can just say that I'm not home, right? When you're not home. And some people take advantage and also say they're not home even when they're home. And they're like, oh, I just picked that up from my phone. I'm actually not home right now. And then they quickly run outside to the back door. I'm actually not home right now, but you know. So we have cameras, yeah. What other forms of security do we have? Electric fence, wow. That is serious. We have electric fence, okay. Has anyone seen an electric fence before? Okay, so we've seen them. Yeah, it's a form of security, electric fence. So we have electric fence. Okay, any more? Anointing oil, thank you very much. So, where's my wife? My wife has said I should stop preaching about when I'm preaching. So, am I permitted, love? Yes. So, one day I was just walking past the door and I see sign of a cross in front of the door and I'm thinking, love, what's that? She just anointed the door, you know, so that nobody... Forms of security, anointing oil. Okay, okay. Any other person? Forms of security? Security men, we have guards, right? We have security men. Yes, we do have them. Do you have security men in your house? In the UK? But in the UK, you have security men? Exactly, okay, so in accommodations, we do have security men there. Okay, cool. Any other forms of security? In jails. Sir? Forms of security, any form of security. It doesn't have to be UK, it doesn't have to be all forms of security. I just want to know what when we gone. Okay, gone. Sorry. Okay. Somebody said our husbands. Okay, forms of security. Husbands, your duty has increased, just so that you know, yeah, you're a form of security. Oluwatuni said that you have signs that are up. Signs, people have signs that say, beware of dogs or... what are those really catching ones that we have on lands in Nigeria? Trespassers would be... okay. Fabulous. Any other forms of security? Sorry? Sensor light. Fantastic. Sensor light. I like sensor light because the good thing with sensor light is that when you're passing in front of someone's house and you're just walking on the street and that light comes on, what happens? You walk quicker because you don't want them to think that... Even when you have no intention of doing anything, you're just walking on your own. But because that light just comes, You know, you increase the pace. Sister Magley. God bless you. Baseball bats. You know, some people have baseball bats. I've got baseball bats on my list, actually, you know. Some people have baseball bats. Sorry? Cricket bats. Okay, baseball bat, cricket. Okay, so based on the answers you're getting, you know the houses that you shouldn't go to, yeah? Okay, boy. Pepper spray. Okay. Some people have pepper spray, forms of home security. Amen. Praise. Amen. 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 So, jokes aside, we have all these forms of security in our homes, yeah? We have all these forms of security in our home. The question is, how secure is our soul? How secure is your soul? What are the defensive mechanisms that you have to defend yourself, to defend your soul? Like we read, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against our spouse or our friends or the boss at work. Our struggle is way more than that, as we read in Ephesians chapter 6. Our struggle is against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And they're only after one thing, they're after your soul. So ask yourself the question, how secure is my soul? What are the preventive measures that I have in place to prevent, what are the preventive measures you have in place? What are the measures you have to prevent yourself from the attack of the enemy? The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. How does the devil come to steal? How does he come to kill? How does he come to destroy? The devil does this based on what I've written in five ways. The devil steals, kills, destroys by one, by deceiving people. The devil comes by deceiving people. He tells them things that are not true. We see the story of in the Garden of Eden, how the conversation went with Eve. The devil comes and he deceives people. The devil gets people compromised. He gets people compromised. Another thing that the devil does to steal, to kill, and to destroy is it makes people complacent. It makes people complacent. Another thing that the enemy does is the devil isolates people. The devil isolates you because he knows that when you're alone, he can easily attack, yeah? And then another thing that the devil does is that he gets people discouraged. So any of these elements, it deceives people, it gets people compromised, it makes them complacent, it isolates them, it discourages them. And all of this process, none of it is from white to black. Subtle doctrines, subtle things the enemy begins to put in place. The enemy begins to, you know, make you think this way or make you think that way. The enemy has been at this game for a long time. Subtle things. He brings into our lives, and then one day, God forbid, something happens that is so unexpected. But we need to watch out for all of these subtle things in the way in which the enemy kills, steals, and destroys. From our Bible reading this morning, we see that despite the fact that we know that the enemy is out there to kill, to steal, to destroy, God has made a provision for every one of us to be victorious. Amen. He has made a provision for us to be victorious. Amen. He has made what? He has made a provision for us to be victorious. In other words, God has given us defensive mechanisms. God has given us security measures that we can use to examine ourselves, that we can use to prevent the enemy from bringing his plans into our lives. Okay? So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18 that we read, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, if we read verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says that we should do what? We should put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles there means the devices, the schemes of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Next verse, please. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Let's see what a different translation says about verse 13. Verse 13, a different translation. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Fantastic. In a time of evil. Another translation. Be prepared. You are up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you will still be on your feet. Another translation. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Does it say in any of the versions that we've read so far that the day of evil might come, that there's a probability that it will come? It says with clarity that the day of evil will come, okay? In all the scriptures that we've read, the day of evil will come, but be prepared for it. Amen. Be prepared for that day when the enemy tries to come to steal, to kill, to destroy you. Be prepared for it. And this is the provision that God has made for us. It says that we should put on the whole armor of God. And we're going to look at how we can use God's armor as a defensive mechanism for our soul to ensure that we're not prey to the enemy. The first armor that we see there is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. And that talks about self-examination. Be truthful, be sincere. Examine yourself. Examine your ways. Examine the things that you do. Are they in line? Are they in standard to what God asks for every one of us? Examine yourself. A belt of truth. The psalmist says, O Lord, search me and what? Know me. Can we say the same prayer that, Lord, search me and know me? Know what's in my inward being. For us to ensure that we're not prey to the enemy, we need to have a self-exam on a daily basis. We need to examine our lives. We need to examine the things that we do. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He says, examine yourself to see whether you are in faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Examine yourselves. And that's something that we don't do these days. We don't examine ourselves. You know, it's very, we live in a very, in very difficult times because, I don't know about you, but correcting people these days is a bit difficult. I actually, you know, I was telling my wife at the beginning of the year that I've taken a step back to think, are God's standards just too high? The reason why I ask myself the question is not for my sake, yeah? It's because of when I try to talk to people, it's almost like, be real, not in this world, it can happen in this life. So I'm thinking, is God's standard too high? But then there was a scripture that my wife said to me that day about how we should stand out. We're called out in our words, in our speech, that we should be excellent. We should not do things as the world does it. So yes, examine yourself. Look at the things. Look at your life. Also, you know, many a times Pastor Fumi will say we should do a 360 examination. Look at yourself. Look at what are your priorities. Just examine it. The day of evil will come, yes, but we need to be ready. God has already given us everything we need to be victorious. Like the choir sang, if God be for us, who can be against us? And in reality, the only person that can be against you is you. That's the answer to that question. The only person is you. God has given us victory. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 to 4, Paul advises the Galatians, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. We need to keep examining ourselves. Apart from examining ourselves, another armor that we see in Ephesians chapter 6 is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. And with the breastplate of righteousness, we know that Christ is our righteousness is of God, yeah? But one thing we have to think is that this scripture was written to, in loose words, Christians, believers, yeah? It wasn't written to people that were unbelievers. How will an unbeliever put on the whole armor of God? But it was saying here that they need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And when we talk about that, we talk about day by day, make intentional choices to do what is right. Day by day, make intentional choices to do what is right. Make intentional choices to do what is right. The enemy wants you compromised. You know, one of the ways that we said earlier was the enemy wants you compromised, but the way in which you're not going to be compromised is day by day. Day by day, I'm making conscious efforts to do things. You know, once we think in our minds that we cannot, let's say fasting, redeem called a 50 days fasting. Some of us, we already know that we cannot fast. It's day by day, make intentional choices to do the right thing. Breastplate of righteousness. The Bible tells us that we should not let the sun go down on our anger. The Bible tells us that we should watch the things that comes out of our mouth. But when we think about it, we, you know, the other day we're saying how we always look for exceptions. Let's just take God's word as it is. He says that we should not let the sun go down on our anger, right? We wake up the next morning, you know, thinking of how we're going to, as in, you know, what that person, as in, you know, of how we're going to retaliate and things like that. But the Bible tells us that, you know, let's take God's word as it is. If it was difficult, if it was impossible, the Bible won't tell us to do it. God will not tell us to do it. Amen. So the fact that it's, God is, has put it there for us means it's possible. Amen. Make intentional choices to do what is right. We need to be people that we look at our integrity. Would you be regarded as a person of integrity? Would you be regarded as somebody that, you know, yes, that person has a good standard? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says that we should seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek first what? The kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. We need to be careful. Make intentional choices. Extremely important, make intentional choices. The devil has been at this game for a very long time, and when we're having Sunday school, was it Sunday school? Yes, Sunday school. Pastor D was mentioning a lot of things that are out there these days, and some of us we're into this. We know this, right? I said some of us. I did not say all of us. I said some of us, right? You know, when that was going on, I just thought to myself that, wow. You know, it's like sometimes when somebody's here and they say, oh, what's in Matthew something, something? Oh, do you know the story of this? The responses we get are not exactly the same when we say, do you know about, what was it that we said now? Oh, what were those words? Because I was hearing them for the first time. Not that I don't know some of these things, but the ones that were mentioned today, I was hearing for the first time. Beehives, we're all into it. As in, what else was mentioned? Malians. As in, you know, but sometimes they say, okay, what's in Ephesians chapter 6? Do we know this story? Do we know what's in there? Then we kind of... I just hope they won't call my name. Please don't call my name. Make intentional choices. Make intentional choices to do the right things. Step by step. Step by step. Make intentional choices. Breastplate of righteousness. The next armor in there talks about the gospel of truth. NLT version, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. He says that for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. How many of us have worn uncomfortable shoes? What do you do with a shoe that is not comfortable? What do you do with it? You what? You fight through the pain. Wow. Wow. Okay. I bought a pair of shoes recently from ASOS. The shoe was £16, yeah? I was like, fantastic. This shoe is really good. I sent it to T. I was like, T, you know what? I found the shoe I'm looking for. And then I wore this shoe for 2 days, and it was raining, and my feet were a bit, I was like, oh my days. And T said, what did T say when I sent him that text message? T said, it was almost like T sent me a curse, right? That this shoe, that you are your crap shoe or fake shoe or something. And I was like, you know what, get lost. I was so excited about the shoe on the first day that I bought a second pair. You know, I'm one of these people that... I'm one of these people that if I see something that it's nice, I'll buy it again so that when the first one, after 2 years, when the first one, you get the second one out and it's like you just started again, because a lot of these things, you don't see them again, right? You don't see them again. So I bought a second pair. But after 2 days, and my socks was feeling like, what did I do? I returned them. We must have confidence in our position in Christ. We must stand firm in the truth of God's word, regardless of how terrifying circumstances may be. When I had that shoe, right? This shoe that I'm talking about. Don't worry, I've devised something to that shoe. Don't worry. I went to buy, what's it called? I went to buy this. What did they call it? Sorry? Insoles. Insoles. Okay, that's what it's called. Fantastic. I didn't know what it was called. I just Googled it and I was like, you know what? I bought it for £20. It was more expensive than the shoe in itself. But anyway. So after I realized that this shoe was messing me about, what will I do? There are places that I won't go. If it's raining, I'm not going. Because I don't want my socks to be feeling a bit wet, right? It's the same thing. We need to be sure of our standing in Christ. Amen. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news. God's word is settled. Amen. Put on that peace. In other translation, it talks about the readiness. And readiness implies constant vigilance. A victorious soldier has to be prepared for the battle. A victorious soldier would look at the strategy of the enemy, would examine the strategies that the enemy is trying to use to overcome them. I look at the strategy. Is it raining outside? If it's raining, I'm not going. But if you're sure of where you are in Christ, if you're sure of your footing, for shoes, put on the peace of the good news. Amen. Put on the shoes of the good news, that the peace in there, that whatever happens, we have peace, we're victorious. Amen. In addition to standing our ground, shoes are also for moving. God expects us to go on the offensive and take the gospel of peace to others. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Be prepared. Be ready. God expects us to be very offensive. He expects us to be very deliberate. Sharing our faith is one of the best ways to maintain our sure footing. Sharing our faith is one of the best way to maintain our sure footing. And the reason is because as soon as you begin to share the message, you know, you almost like you're putting yourself up to a high standard, and immediately at the back of your mind, you're thinking, I don't want to do anything that would compromise what I'm saying. I want to be a person that I do what exactly the things that I am saying. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. We should be ready. And then the next armor of God that we see in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the shield of faith. And this shield that we're talking about is not, you know, there are small battle shields, and there are the really big ones that look like a door. Yeah? So the ones we're talking about is the ones that look like a door. The ones that looks like a door. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So, I love all these Roman movies, and I'm so into it. Best movies of all time, Gladiators. When we talk about the shield of faith, the shield, as big as a door is, when we're all together in one place and we assemble ourselves, you know, soldiers, when they come together, what do? It's almost like there's a covering over them with that shield that they have in front of them. The shield of faith is saying to us, don't fight that battle alone. You know the arrows that he was talking about? It says that with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Can I do it just by myself? So let's say the arrows were coming. Okay, I'm good at dodging, blocking. I block one, two, three, four. Before you know it, one gets you on the leg, another one gets you on the knee, and then before you know it, because you've seen those movies, right? When the arrows come, they come like almost like a rain. But put on the shield of faith. Be part of a people that believe in God, such that all of you can stand against these arrows when they come your way. Amen. All of us, we're doing the right things today. We're in church. We're in the midst of believers. Amen. We need to ensure that we are not neglecting fellowshipping with believers. There was a chap. He had issues at work. He had serious issues at work, especially with his boss. And he tried all manner of things, and it wasn't working. And you know, and then he came to church, and then he was with believers. And someone said to him that, you know, sometimes people have their own issues and they take up their issues with you, or they take up their issues on you. But really, it's not about what you're not doing. It's about that person. And only if you knew what that person was going through, you would empathize with them. You won't be offensive. You won't try to be like, you know. And the guy took that away with him. And months later, he came back and said, actually, you know, that what was said was very true. The boss has been going through all manner of things at work, at home. And when the boss comes to work, the boss, you know, lashes out on employees. But when he was given this piece of advice, what did he do? His mindset was different. This person is going through stuff. Okay. Your shield of faith. Together, it's almost like the illustration with the broom. A broomstick by itself can be easily broken, but when it's in a bunch, you can bend it in all manners of ways. It's not going to break. We need to be part of a believing fellowship. Don't fight your battle alone. Share your struggles with those who will fight with you. Join together in the fellowship of active faith with other believers with whom we are bound together. Be part of the shield. Romans chapter 10 verse 25 says that not giving up meetings together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Romans 10, 25. You know, I was thinking to myself when I read this scripture that it says that, Romans 10, 25, not giving up meetings together as some people are in the habit of doing. Okay. And I was thinking that back in the days, right? How many times did these guys used to meet? How many times they used to meet? Please help me. How many times they used to meet? Every day. You know, at the back of my mind, I'm thinking the day we begin to have three services, Pastor. As in, I'm only coming for one service, so I'm not coming for a second service. Neither am I coming for a third service. I'm only coming for one service. You know that technically speaking, right, we could be regarded right now, the church right now could be regarded as those people that were in the habit of not fellowshipping compared to the way they used to fellowship. Yeah? Yeah? I know Am I making sense? We could be regarded as, because we're not always meeting every day, we're not always breaking bread from house to house. Before you can go to somebody's house in the UK, you know, you have to do all the pleasantries. But yeah, even the small that we have, and in that scripture, in Romans chapter 10, verse 25, he says that do it even more as what? As the day is approaching. What day was he talking about there? As the day is approaching, do it more often. You need it more regularly. You need to be part of that believing faith fellowship. I'm grateful for institutions like Christian Concerns, because I know that if the day comes when any of us are in trouble with the government or they say this, like we've had in the past, one of our students that graduated had an issue, was preaching, and then they locked him up. But because of it was part of faith, he was not alone. He didn't fight the battle by himself. Amen. He was released. The case was dismissed. It was victorious. Because he had what? People there with him. And finally, actually it's not finally, we also have the helmet of salvation. We have the helmet of salvation. And like I said earlier, this is to people that were already saved. He was saying to people that were already saved that put on this whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation. And like the choir sang today, we have confidence. Whatever comes our way, we're victorious. Amen. No matter how much the devil is trying to convince us how things would never change, you look at things and you're like, it will never change. The nights seem longer. It seems like things will never turn around. We need to put on the helmet of salvation, knowing that our victory is assured. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Whatever it is that we're trusting in God for, that seemingly looks like it's taking long, what do we need to do? We need to put on the helmet of salvation. We need to know that, yes, one day, we're getting closer to the day of victory. Amen. You need to hold on to the fact that you're victorious. So when things don't look like what they should be, when there seems to be no way, when the nights are long and you ask yourself, how long will this last for? You ask yourself, will this ever end? Know for a fact that victory is assured. Tell yourself, morning is coming. My morning is coming. The psalmist says in Psalm 3, it says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. But you, Lord, are a shield around me. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me. My God, strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. The psalmist, you know, also in Psalm 91, he says that 1,000 fall beside me, 10,000 fall, 1,000 on my right hand side, 10,000 on my left hand side, they shall not come near me. But here he was saying that actually these things are here. And people are saying that I won't be delivered. People are saying all sorts of things. But he said that who will deliver him? The Lord will deliver him. But you, Lord, are my shield, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. The Lord that gives deliverance, it will give you deliverance. So when the enemy is saying all sorts of things, put on the helmet of salvation. Tell your neighbor, put on the helmet of salvation. Victory is assured. Victory is guaranteed. And then we go next to the sword of the Spirit, which is the last visible one that we see there when it comes to helmets. It talks about the sword of the Spirit. God refers to his word as the sword. The purpose of the sword of the Spirit is to make us strong and able to withstand the evil onslaught of the enemy. The enemy wants to compromise us. The enemy wants us to, he wants to deceive us. How many of us have held, you've held a sword before? Not machete, yeah? You've held a sword. How many of us? How many of us can use a sword? No, don't mind me. I've actually not held one before. But but the point is this. Those people that hold it, what do? They learn the act of using it. For a very few people, it comes natural with them, for them, yeah? They just carry it one day and they know how to use it. But no, you need to learn how to use it. And it's the same thing. He says that we should have the sword of the Spirit. We need to study. We need to learn God's word. Amen. We need to learn God's word. The Holy Spirit uses the power of the word to save souls and then to give them spiritual strength to be mature soldiers for the Lord in fighting this corrupt and evil world we live in. The more you know and understand the word of God, the more useful you will be in fighting against all the plans the enemy has against you. We need to take the word of God and meditate on it. We need to take the word of God and meditate on it. Amen. So we've talked about the helmets of salvation, and then we'll talk about the sword of the Spirit. So what are the defensive mechanisms that we have? What are the defensive mechanisms that we have for our souls? What are our defensive mechanisms? What are our defensive mechanisms? Please just roll it out. And what they mean? We have the belt of truth. What's the belt of truth meant to do? We need to examine ourselves all the time that we're in right standing, that we're doing the right things. What's the next thing that was there? Breastplate of righteousness. What's that meant to help us to do? Make intentional choices to be righteous. Make intentional choices to do the right things. If it wasn't true, if it could not be attained, we won't be talking about it. It's possible, very possible. What's the next thing that was there? Defensive mechanisms. Gospel of truth, the peace. Let's be sure of where we are. God's word is settled. The Bible says that he's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way. Amen. And let us have firm footing in that. What was the next thing we talked about? Sorry? Shield of faith. What is the shield of faith meant to help us to do? We should be part of a believing family. People that would help us when things are going wrong, because the day will come. What was the next thing we talked about? Sorry? Helmet of salvation. What was the helmet of salvation? Victory is assured. Amen. Keep telling yourself victory is assured. Amen. And then finally, sword of the Spirit. We need to learn. We need to dig deep. I pray that God will help us, that would use all the weapons that God has put at our disposal. But one thing he also says in the remaining verses that we read is that we should take prayer seriously. Amen. We should take prayer seriously. And all the things that we talked about, we can pray them into existence. Amen. We can pray them into existence. Let our prayer life be more than it was last year. Let our prayer life be more than it was. Let us enjoy communicating with God. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. Shall we bow down our heads as we pray?